my friends. Augustine. What does Augustine have to say about the education and being taught by the our Lord? Well, actually quite a bit. He is a church father, and he was a little context for Augustine. He had an exceptionally brilliant mind. However, his brilliance isn't what saved him. There was the operation of the Holy Spirit in the garden that allowed him the moment to give his life to Christ. Through the operation of the Holy Spirit, he could then harness his brilliance so that through the millennium, millions of souls could benefit from his teaching. So what came prior as for him as an educator was his humility in being taught. Augustine learned from his mother. So now we're going to look at the trajectory of his life from an educational timeline. He learned from his mother, who was a Christian, Monica, then by the leading heretics and pagans of his day, then Ambrose, then the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit wasn't active with Monica or with, Ambrose. I'm saying then there was that pivot moment, you know, where it's totally take up and eat. The Lord used Augustine's restless heart in pursuit of truth, even when disordered by the Manichaeans, that's the heretics and pagans. How better to confront an opponent, Gnosticism and Arianism, ever-present heresies, I mean, it's not like they're running rampant today, right, than having been immersed in it first. So the fact that he had wandered in the desert of that thought really allowed for him to formulate well-reasoned responses to it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you could almost say that he spoke their language fluently.
He did. And so we're going to the City of God. So let's wave the book.
It's a big one.
It's a biggie. And I'm glad I had studied it as well as I did for so that when I came to the talk, I just, I've got some highlights.
That's right. Yeah.
It's an excellent resource for all to consider in the proper role of educators. It's a very nice companion. So this, if you will, it certainly summarizes a lot of this kind,
It does, actually. Yeah.
It really does. And yeah. So there's that help. Augustine, perhaps not intending to, presents the first philosophy of history. As he defended the believers from accusations that the faith was the cause of the barbarian sack of Alaric in 410. So Sarah just mentioned about how he, he knows it from the inside. So he understands what when Marcellinus comes to him and says, hey, the Christians are being blamed for the sack of Rome. Serious charge. And the reason was, one, the Christian faith is preaching mercy, which is a weakness. That was not considered a virtue in Roman times. And the second one is they're preaching against the pagan gods and it's gotten them all mad, the pagan gods. So the Christians are really being blamed and scapegoated. And it kind of goes on today with some of that as well. So Augustine, in the first 10 books, addresses those charges and defends against how that those aren't so. And through his scholarship, he got mankind thinking about themselves as a universal society, a family of human beings, and the elements necessary for each for each such society.
Right. And that's kind of what I was saying before, is that we have, you know, our education is not for us alone. And we are indebted to what we know because somebody went before us. And we have an obligation to the people who come after us. And really, you think about St. Augustine, you know, all of his, the wealth of his information, it's obvious how indebted people felt to it, that we have, I mean, this book was written in the 400s, right? And I'm hard pressed to say that a jot or a tittle has been lost, right? I mean, people over the course of time have been indebted to what he wrote there. And, you know, I think that is also one of the constant signs of the left, is that they want every year to be year zero. Mm-hmm. You know, so that they can be the ones who brag about everything that is right and never be condemned about anything that's wrong.
In chapter 11 through 22 of The City of God, Augustine moves towards a view of society on a cosmic level. So now we're going right back to our telos again of being with God, our supreme good. So like Pius XI, he sees two ways or realms of living, that of the city of God with the good angels and men turned towards God, versus the fallen angels and men who have chosen a life apart from God. An idea born of Satan is that man can craft a just society apart from God. That is Masonic. That is a Masonic. And that is absolutely false. It is not possible.
Right. Well, inevitably, what they end up doing is they end up stealing from Peter to pay Paul, right? They pretend that the justice is all on their own, that all of this goodness and all of this virtue resides in themselves, until they've borrowed down the bank account so low that they are in absolute debt, at which point then, you know, there's, history has shown it over and over again, that there's tragically some type of a war, there's some type of a revival, something that renews, where God either punishes, he removes societies, or he restores grace, right? He sends the angel of punishment, or he sends the Holy Spirit, right? We can follow history straight through that. But the problem is that because man has this tendency to arrogance, right, to pride, that eventually once we get to that point of like goodness again, we're like, oh, I guess I did a really great job again, and then we go through the whole then you do the whole process over and over again.
I think we're going to stop there, but I want to pick up that we will forget. I was listening to some spiritual thought leaders, let's call them that, and they started to put out the idea, and I think it's something that maybe we can try and remember from time to time as we're able, that we do not forget the lessons that we've learned through this time. The judges have six times in there where, right there, things are going well, then they forget, then they lapse into sin, then they are in misery, then they have supplication, then they send a savior, then we go into silence, and we start again. That's the, call it the S cycle, if you will. Yeah. But a lot of spiritual thought leaders are saying the same thing, that it's my opinion, at some point, this is going to get, that man will come to a deeper relationship with our Lord, and the evil doing that has been perpetrated on the world will be rectified in some fashion. And then we won't be in the same place of, are we going to choose to remember and teach our children and our children's children that we got into this mess because we thought it was someone else's job to go talk at city council, go check on how they're voting, make sure it's legal, right? I remember not too long ago that I thought, now I was more involved than most, but I remember hearing this, that the measure of a good citizen was just showing up every 2 years, every 4 years, and vote, and that was enough.
The bare minimum is never enough.
It isn't. It isn't. So we can maybe start. We cannot forget these lessons, or we'll go right back into it.
Yeah.
All right, my friends, let's pick up in the next episode with, yes, chapter 19.2. See what Augustine has to say. Till then, fides et ratio.